When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. These are our first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country, or those who die in the line of duty or are severely injured, and our veterans who fought for our nation's freedoms only to return home, fall on tough times, and become homeless.
Heroes like Buffalo firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero.
Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes, the families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young kids, severely injured service members, and homeless veterans.
Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Monday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you had fantastic weekends. We are off and running with incompetence in the Biden administration continuing to build on virtually every front wherever you look. I just came back from filling up my gas tank, and prices are so high now at my local gas station that they won't even allow you to spend more than $100, and I can't even fill up my gas tank because of the price of gas with $100. I'm guessing this is some sort of fail-safe they put on back in the Trump days, or basically the days of any other president, when they thought to themselves, there's no way it's going to cost someone over $100 to fill up their gas tank. Well, welcome to the Biden administration. I want to hit on two different failures, one domestic, one foreign, that to me epitomize how bad the Biden administration is on all fronts right now. First of all, in Taiwan, and the discussion surrounding Taiwan, we have a policy of strategic ambiguity. That means that we never really let it be known whether or not we will provide military aid and defense to Taiwan in the event that China invades. This has become a bigger and bigger story, certainly, as everyone has seen what happens with Russia and Ukraine. Many people, certainly Buck and I on this show, have suggested that China is using the invasion of Ukraine by Russia as a proxy of sorts for what might happen in the rest of the world if they were to decide to invade Taiwan. Joe Biden was asked directly about that during his trip to Asia, and this is what he said. They've already, by the way, as we play it, had to clean this statement up because he is in utter embarrassment and a mess, and he can't even speak in cogent and intelligent fashion. Listen to this.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are?
That's a commitment we made.
Clay, can I just remind everybody of some of the, I mean, as you know, you already said, he had to walk it back. That is a huge, huge no-no. He's done this
multiple times now about this specific issue.
Yeah, he's walking around and he's reckless, and it's hard to get that mad at him because we also sit here and say, guys, he's declining. Like, this is, they've put somebody who should be out there spending time with family and maybe feeding the squirrels in the backyard, and he's the commander in chief. And that's not what he should be doing right now. Just some headlines, Clay, just to give everyone a little reminder about the kind of things that when Trump would tweet anything about North Korea, Trump flirted with nuclear war with North Korea, The Intercept. Trump almost started nuclear war via Twitter. North Korea, what war with the U.S. would look like? That was Vox. Trump tweets about nuclear war with North Korea, risking, you know, all this. You go back and look at this.
Yeah.
They were threatening Trump wanted to talk to Kim Jong-un, and they acted like we were going to be in nuclear war any moment. China's a much bigger concern for us than North Korea is. And yet one of these instances, one of these presidents, they would talk about the 25th Amendment. It's reckless. We're approaching nuclear holocaust unless we take him out of office. But Joe Biden, they go, yeah, no, don't worry. Karine Jean-Pierre is going to clean up the mess. Really? That's what we're dealing with now?
And this is probably the single most important question he could be asked in Asia. So of all the things that you would want him to get right and be able to answer in an intelligent, forthright manner, this is probably the most important question, one that everybody knew was coming. And Buck, the message of incompetence was set. I'm sure you saw this video. When he landed in South Korea, Biden sort of wobbly came down the steps of Air Force One with a mask on. He's walking down the steps by himself with no one else around, wearing a mask and those stupid aviator shades that he's constantly wearing too. So he basically has his entire face covered. As he gets down to where he is greeting all of the dignitaries that are arriving there in South Korea, he immediately takes his mask off and shakes all their hands and speaks as close as you possibly can to the faces of all the South Koreans. Now, I don't know that you can better epitomize the incompetence of an administration arriving for a foreign event and looking that incompetent. And as if that were not enough. So that's foreign affairs, where he is bombing on the world stage, unable to answer the most competent and important question in an intelligent fashion, dealing with whether or not we would go to war with China effectively in the event they decide to invade Taiwan. And look, the White House, of course, for like, this is the third or fourth time they've had to correct him on this Taiwan related issue. You would think that he would manage some form of competence at some point to get the answer right. We've got baby formula. We are in such disastrous, dire straits as it pertains to children in this country. There are babies being hospitalized, Buck, because they can't get, their parents cannot get the right baby formula. Abbott Labs is out there apologizing right now because of these hospitalizations of babies that are going on. We're having to fly in baby formula from Europe.
On military transport jets.
Yes.
I mean, it's like we're doing a reverse Berlin airlift of baby formula right now.
Think about how bad this is. Our administration, the Biden administration, is so bad right now that Europe is having to feed our babies. That's where we are. You could have never made any sort of argument that this could ever have occurred.
And if you just look at the scope of the baby formula argument specifically over the last month or so, do you remember early on? First of all, it was a right-wing meme. It wasn't true. That was what the blue checks.
When we started talking about this on this show, they said this is a made-up controversy. It doesn't really exist.
The whole thing. So that's what they were saying. And then they transitioned when it became clear, because people all over the country were saying, I can't get baby formula. This is freaking me out. You know, parents were understandably very upset. We could have taken calls for a whole show for 3 hours,
yes,
just on parents' outrage all over the country.
We had grandparents calling saying they were trying to help their grandchildren and their own children by searching for baby formula for them as well.
But the Biden administration argument initially was, hey, like, not really our thing here, you know, the market, man, whatever. And then when they realized that wasn't going to fly, especially when people are realizing their groceries are all more expensive, the money in their bank accounts is worth less with each passing month. Gas, you just said, the gas situation
is can't even fill up your
outrageous
car for $100 now.
So then they said, oh, okay, I guess maybe we should do something about the baby formula shortage. And so now they're working with, you know, companies and literally flying it in from Europe, as you said. And now they want a pat on the back? I mean, this is remarkable for the Biden administration. Look at the great job we're doing now that we can actually get some baby formula in here. And if you even look at the origins of the shortage crisis, it ties to the FDA apparently wrongly shutting down that Abbott lab. They did a full spectrum investigation of whether or not there was a bacterial poisoning of two babies, which obviously is a horrible tragedy, but it turns out doesn't seem like it actually came from that lab. And our own federal government, I believe, has some tariffs in place that make baby formula from, we don't really have the supply chain from the rest of the world because there's a tariff that we have, which we don't often think about, that makes it not economically competitive to bring baby formula into the country. Until now, obviously, things have changed. So regulation, FDA incompetence, slow Biden administration, babies don't have the food they need. I mean, this is just an encapsulation of the level of incompetence we are dealing with. And I do think a big part of the problem is that we have a media that was so complicit, Clay, in elevating this guy and acting like, yeah, Joe Biden's going to unify the country and the adults are in charge. I mean, I was just thinking about this morning. Remember his primary talking point, really, was, I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm going to shut down the virus. Now we're 18 months in. Oh, he's shutting down parts of the economy, all right. You know, he's messing things up there royally. And he definitely did not shut down the virus as we have 100,000 cases a day still after forced vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. This is a disaster.
No doubt. And we've also managed to be shipping baby formula to the border for illegal immigrants that are coming across. They have stacks and stacks of it there. It's so bad. And to me, I don't know how you overcome this if you're the Biden administration, because the baby formula having to be shipped in from Europe in order to feed babies in the United States is such a level of incompetence that it's hard to get past for many people. I think it crystallizes the Biden administration's failures on virtually every front. And it's so bad that even our good friend Brian Stelter at CNN is acknowledging how bad this is making the Democrats and Joe Biden.
That's really bad, Clay. It's really bad.
You know it's bad when Mr. CNN Plus has to acknowledge how bad the Biden administration is doing. Listen to this.
You saw those pictures in the corner of the screen a few moments ago. The first military flight carrying an emergency supply of baby formula has just landed near Indianapolis, Indiana. Baby formula flown in on a military plane. This is part of the Biden administration's Operation Fly Formula as Americans are coping with a nationwide shortage. The pallets of baby formula were flown here from Germany. This staff, the master sergeant overseeing the shipment, telling his staff, quote, we are literally saving babies. But this is both a failure as well as a success. The existence of this plane is a failure of the government and a failure of corporations as well, even though these pictures today are meant to symbolize a success by the Biden administration.
If you ignore the boiling water on the stove to the point where the whole kitchen catches fire, now you've got to call the fire department, you don't get to actually pat yourself on the back for calling the fire department. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, we're not doing this thing here where, oh, look at Joe Biden.
What they're trying to do.
Of course, because what else are they going to do? Otherwise, people are realizing, they're looking at this, and Clay, in the background of the shortages we have in baby formula, Elizabeth Warren and other Democrats are talking about passing new bills. They're going to call it, you know, anti-greed bills or anti-price gouging. They're putting price controls in place.
They're trying,
I'm not exaggerating when I say the idiots that rule over you right now, folks, in the Democrat Party, do not understand basic supply and demand. They do not understand how the market functions.
Which is why every time we have a senator on this show, one of the questions I want to ask and do ask is, can you guys run out the clock? Because as bad as things are in the Biden administration so far, he's actually being protected from his worst ideas and the worst ideas of the party by Joe Manchin, by the courts, by people who are not allowing him to implement his policies. Things are so bad that the single most important thing that should be on the shelves for anyone when you walk into a grocery store, the single most important thing, baby formula. Because you can't replace it easily with anything else. If they're out of orange juice, all right, buy apple juice. If they're out of bananas, you can buy oranges, whatever. If your favorite beer is not there, you can find another type of beer. You can't replace baby formula. That's what babies eat at young ages. And there are babies hospitalized, Buck, right now, because their parents can't find baby formula to feed them. And I don't know that it's possible to have any more crystal clear example of Joe Biden's failures than those airplanes arriving military transports from Europe to feed our babies.
And let's just be clear. It's not as if it's possible to find it. I mean, there's a shortage, meaning it,
yes,
it doesn't exist within driving distance, or you can't get it delivered to you in a timely enough fashion online. You can't get it, right? This is what those parents are facing right now. And I want all of them to, I want everyone listening, I should say, to remember, a month ago, the Biden administration was like, it's on our, don't worry.
It's made up.
Not a big deal.
Those right-wing media people like Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, they're just making up this story. Even though I was hearing from so many of you out there, and we were hearing from so many of you, and we opened up phone lines, this was exactly what's going on. Biden administration finally catches up and decides they have to bring in military transport planes. I hope this takes care of it, because now FedEx is trying to distribute some of the baby formula out there to places that are most in need of it. But the fact that we even got here is an utter indictment of the Biden administration, and yet more evidence of why a red wave must happen in 6 months. Got to tell you, everybody's trying to save money. Just talked with you about how much money it costs to fill up the gas tank, how difficult it is to find products out there as inflation continues to skyrocket. Are you paying too much for your cell phone bill? Chances are, if you don't have Pure Talk, you are. That's why you need Pure Talk to replace what you're paying too much for right now. It's the exact same service. Can save you $900 a year when you use Pure Talk for your cell phone service. My son's got it. 14-year-old loves having his own Pure Talk plan. It's been great for us. He's taking exams right now at school. When the exams are over, boom, sends us a text. We can go pick him up, and you can find this for your family as well. It's exact same 5G quality cell phone service as the bigger, better known competitors, and you can save $900. Did I mention $900 in savings? Super easy too. You can keep your same phone. You can keep your same number. You just get to be $900 wealthier. How do you do it? From your cell phone right now, dial #250, save Clay and Buck, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. You can be switched over in less than 10 minutes. Same phone number, just $900 more in your pocket. From your phones right now, dial #250, say Clay and Buck. That's #250, say Clay and Buck.
From the front lines of truth, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Lots that we are catching up with on the Monday edition of the program. But one of the things that I've been most fired up for a long time, we got a lot of listeners down in Georgia, Buck. And you know that I am an Atlanta Braves fan. Primarily through my 11-year-old, I'm going to be down in Atlanta with him, watching a bunch of games, broadcasting from our Atlanta affiliate next month. I can't wait to be down there at Truist Park. Braves win the World Series. But the All-Star game was pulled out of Atlanta because Major League Baseball bought into the idea that the new Georgia voting rights bill was Jim Crow 2.0. Well, the numbers are being destroyed in terms of early voters. And I want to play for you an audio list of all of the Democrats who said the Georgia bill was Jim Crow 2.0. They were all 1,000,000,000% wrong. Of course, they haven't apologized, but listen to this.
I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic.
We are living through the worst assault on the right to vote since the Jim Crow era. And yesterday, on the Senate floor, white nationalists used the Jim Crow filibuster to block voting rights legislation.
Senate Republicans voted to aid and abet the most dangerous campaign of voter suppression since Jim Crow.
What we're seeing across the states today is nothing short of Jim Crow in the 21st century.
We are always going to push back against these sort of bigoted, racist, Jim Crow 2.0 style voting laws.
Parts of our country are backsliding into the days of Jim Crow, passing laws that harken back to the era of poll taxes.
It's horrifying that you have any Democrat, Clay, saying this. I mean, it's just so dishonest and divisive and destructive. And yet, it's not just random Democrats. That was Joe Biden, the president of the United States.
He traveled to Georgia to have a specific speech about this being Jim Crow 2.0.
And they are breaking records in Georgia for early voting. So somehow, the super evil and, oh, it's so racist, voting integrity laws the state of Georgia has passed are so effective at being racist and blocking minorities from voting that you have all-time high turnout already happening in early voting, all-time high minority turnout happening in early voting. It's almost like the Democrats are shameless liars who do not care that everything they said about this has already proven to be false.
The numbers are this. I'm reading directly from a graphic from the Georgia Secretary of State. Over 800,000 people have voted early in the state of Georgia in 2022. That compares to total voting that is out there in 2018 of under 400,000 voters. That was the last midterm early voting. So we have over doubled in terms of the state of Georgia what was done in 2018, and they have already pulled, which is pretty wild, they have already pulled these arguments are just vanishing, right? They lied about Jim Crow 2.0. You got Stacey Abrams out there. By the way, the vote is tomorrow in Georgia, the official primary day, and it looks like Herschel Walker is going to win overwhelmingly and will be the nominee for the Republicans against Reverend Warnock. And it looks like Brian Kemp is going to comfortably win the Georgia governor's primary against Purdue. And so he's going to be going up against Stacey Abrams again in 2018. But you got Stacey Abrams out there saying Georgia is the worst state to live in America, which is maybe the worst line that anybody running for governor of any state has ever. Who would vote for her when she's out there saying that Georgia is the worst state in America? That's the worst argument I've ever heard by any governor candidate ever. Like, you want to at least tell the people of your state, hey, we're friendly, we're buddies with you.
Well, when you're the fake governor of Georgia, Clay,
well,
you're pretty upset until you become, I guess, the real governor of Georgia, which is also not going to happen. And I think what people are realizing right now is that this wave that we're expecting, I mean, there's so many people that the Democrat media has been propping up. I mean, you know, the corporate media on the left has been pretending, you know, Beto O'Rourke and
what happens
Stacey
when they
Abrams.
Get crushed? When Stacey Abrams and Beto get crushed, are they done?
No,
like, or will
no,
they emerge again?
They've basically, they're now essentially pundits who pretend to be politicians, right? They're out there doing media and I think are going to be once again losers in politics. But remember, you know, Joe Biden, this is the third time they ran this guy for president. It was absurd. It was reckless. And yet somehow he sits at 1600 Pennsylvania. So they will, you got to give them credit. They're shameless, but they stick to it on the Democrat side of things. In Georgia specifically, I wonder if the messaging, think about this, the messaging is going to be in the state of Georgia that Republicans are super racist. So they passed the super racist law. And the reality is, you're having bigger turnout you've ever had. No voting is being suppressed. It is a total lie. And oh, Republicans are also super excited to vote for Herschel Walker. So this is how racist in the state of Georgia the GOP is. They're passing laws that are good for voter integrity after there were some very real questions, to put it mildly, in the 2020 election. And one of the most exciting candidates in the GOP in the Senate race in the whole country is Herschel Walker. But we're going to get lectures about racism all the time from Democrats. At some point, it just doesn't work anymore. You know,
well,
at some point,
yeah,
it falls on deaf ears, as it should.
And by the way, we've updated you and continued to update you on how tight the race has been in Pennsylvania between Dr. Oz and Dave McCormick. And by the way, the most recent numbers that I'm seeing there, it appears Dr. Oz is going to win. It's around 1,000 votes separating those two. I mean, it couldn't almost be any closer at all. We don't know exactly how many votes are still out there, but that margin has stayed somewhat around. I'm looking at it right now. I think it's a little bit over 1,000, like 1,060 at the most recent numbers that I'm seeing right now. But what I want to bring up is, in addition to what you're talking about with Herschel Walker, who I think is going to win in the state of Georgia,
yep,
and knock Reverend Raphael Warnock back to his pulpit. Look at the voting in the Republican primary. Democrats like to talk about how inclusive and diverse their candidates are, when really, it's very often, look at who's running the Democrat Party right now. It's a bunch of old white people. It's Joe Biden. It's Chuck Schumer, and it's Nancy Pelosi. Look at what happened in the Republican primary. Dr. Oz looks like he's going to win a really close race. If he wins in Pennsylvania, he would be the first Muslim to ever be elected to the United States Senate. Okay. Simultaneously, Kathy Barnett got just shy of 25% of the vote in Pennsylvania, black woman running for the nomination in the Republican primary. Now, I'm not saying people were voting for them because of their identities, because that's what Democrats claim to do. But these people are telling such good campaigns and telling such compelling stories to the audience, the electorate, that in the Republican primary, I'm doing math live, right, Buck, which is always difficult, but right around 57% of Republican primary voters in Pennsylvania voted for a Muslim candidate or a black woman to represent them statewide in Pennsylvania. Does that, to you, Buck, sound like something that a super racist party would do?
Think about the recent stars that are emerging within the Republican Party. You have Winsome Sears and Mayorkas, along with Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. You have, as you said, Dr. Oz, who'd be the first Muslim American at that, you know, to be elected to Is it the first to the Senate? Is that really?
I believe I'm correct. Somebody can let me know if I'm wrong in that. But my reading, is that there's never been a Muslim senator before, and Dr. Oz would be the first.
And obviously we've talked about Herschel Walker, and there are other candidates too. But the GOP view of all this is we just want the best people. We just want people that are going to represent the values that we share, and we want to bring as many folks in as we possibly can. And we fundamentally do not care about the identity politics of different politicians. We want people that are great, and it doesn't matter. We just want good people. I also would just say on the issue of Pennsylvania specifically, you think about all of the time that we're told, oh, there's not really any voting fraud. And then you say, well, what about this person who went to prison for voting fraud? And what about that person who went to... And I know there are a lot of people who have been asking and reaching out specifically about the Dinesh D'Souza movie. I've watched it. I've talked to Dinesh. I've interviewed Dinesh about this. Voter fraud is very real. And voter fraud doesn't have to be huge to be a problem. I mean, now I know we're talking about on the primary side, so that's why I think it illustrates the point well here. Even a small number of illegal ballots could be the difference in a Senate race, as we're seeing right now. And I think we're more allowed to talk about it because I'm not saying anyone's committing fraud in Pennsylvania. I'm just saying if you don't get it really as right as you can with what ballots should be counted, Clay, this race in the primary is probably going to come down to 500 votes, 1,000 votes. I mean, think about the margins that we see in these contested states. That's why for a place like Georgia, to try to have more accountability, to tighten things up, to have better surveillance if there are going to be drop boxes, etc., makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. Because you don't need 50,000 fake ballots to throw an election. You need 5,000, maybe.
How bad is Brian Kemp going to have to beat Stacey Abrams for her to be willing to concede?
Well, this is what I always say. Republicans have to have the fraud margin on their side, meaning that you have to beat them.
What's the number? If she loses, she lost by 50,000 basically in 18 buck. If we get to 100, does she concede and acknowledge?
We need six figures. If it's a six figure loss, I think she'll probably have to say, well, I'm still the fake governor, but you know, I did lose. Come back to more on this, including the Hillary story that the media is not talking about, but we will be talking about it here. We're not letting that one go. The Russia collusion hoax. It's all coming together, folks. Look, our days are full of activities. They're long, and Clay and I wouldn't want it any other way. Having the right level of sustained energy all day is obviously a good thing. Being able to focus on what's in front of us, that's essential. Our friends at Chalk, C-H-O-Q, Chalk, ensure that you have the right levels of both energy and focus with their excellent lineup of supplements. In fact, their male vitality stack includes the right supplement ingredients for not only energy and focus, but also vitality in terms of having the right levels of testosterone, too. We mentioned it before. It's worth mentioning again. American men have huge drops in testosterone over the last 50 years or so. That's what the studies show you. Chalk pays attention to all of that. The top ingredient in Chalk Daily is clinically proven to increase total testosterone by 20% over 90 days. The smart people working at Chalk have combined powerful, natural, and clinically studied herbal extracts to produce these helpful supplements. They're game changers for men who want to have full, productive days with no peaks or crashes. Chalk is a Texas-based company founded by seventh-generation Texans. Their manufacturing is all done here in the U.S. Get the ultimate daily boost for American men. Visit Chalk.com, that's C-H-O-Q.com. Use my name, Buck, that's B-U-C-K, as the code when you buy online, and you will get a 30% savings. That includes their popular Male Vitality Stack. One more time, Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q, Chalk.com. Use that code, Buck, for 30% off.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, voices of sanity in an insane world.
Thus far, there doesn't seem to be a need for any kind of extra effort beyond what's going on. And so I just don't think it rises to the level of the kind of concern that existed with COVID-19 and the smallpox vaccine works for it. So, but I think people should be careful.
That was President Biden talking about monkeypox, which is getting a lot of media attention right now. Is this something you need to be concerned about, or is this overblown at this stage? We've got that and a whole lot of other health issues to discuss with our friend Dr. Marty McCary. is the author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. McCary, great to have you on.
Good to be with you.
Let's start with the monkeypox situation. They show these blisters and you know, you're seeing a lot of media coverage of this. There's some relation to smallpox, and so people are really, really freaked out. I asked a doctor friend of mine over the weekend, and he said, basically, not something you really have to worry about very much. What's the reality here?
I would agree with that. Monkeypox does not have the ability to cause a pandemic for a couple of reasons. It requires a lot of direct contact, a lot. I mean, we're talking about maybe with sores or a rash at the time of the direct contact, maybe a blood or fluid exposure, maybe large respiratory droplets and a very close face-to-face interaction for a long period of time. You know, there's a reason why they've noticed an outbreak clustered among a subgroup of gay individuals. They believe that it may be transmitted possibly among a number of different routes through men having sexual intimacy with other men. UK is actually advising people about that, and they're urging anyone in that community to be aware of rashes. CDC is also issuing a similar advisory right now.
Dr. McCary, appreciate you coming on. I want to hit you with this because I'm getting this question a lot. Right now, and I'm looking at the New York Times database on COVID, the top 10 states to have COVID-related issues, the highest level, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Delaware, New Jersey, Vermont, New York, New Hampshire, Illinois, Maine, and Michigan. That might be more than 10, but that's all the ones right at the top. Those are all states with incredibly high rates of COVID vaccination. In fact, far higher than the average in the nation as a whole. What are we seeing? How is this possible based on what the CDC has told us that we would have the highest rates of COVID right now in the states that have the highest rate of COVID shots, aka vaccinations? Is this just a geographic quirk in your mind, or is there something else at play?
Well, there's definitely seasonality to the virus, and maybe that's why it's been spreading quicker in the north. But the CDC and the NIH painted themselves into a corner by saying that the vaccine would reduce or stop transmission. The message should be clear that the vaccine in people who are at risk downgrades the severity of illness. And we still really have not heard that message. They're chasing these COVID zero policies. And with regard to studying it, because generally there's not been a lot of scientific evaluation of the largest public health intervention in modern history, we got a paper in our top medical journal in the last few days that looked at Cornell University.
Yes.
They did basically everything, tested people twice a week, set up a fortress, you know, masking, canceled activities. And over the entire duration of those COVID zero policies, no difference in overall outcomes. That should say a lot.
Dr. McCary, also wanted to ask you about the realities of how effective the vaccine, even for those at risk, is. And now, you know, it feels like the conversation gets very has to be very nuanced and in the weeds, because there's the issue of how effective it is right after the shot, how effective it is a few months after the shot. We saw just last week, we talked about this, data showing that even those who were fully vaccinated during the Omicron surge, I think it was as of either January or February, something like 40 to 50% of those who were dying from COVID were fully vaccinated, which I think was a surprise to me when I saw that statistic. Do we have some sense as to how effective and for how long for those at high risk the vaccines are, based on the actual data as it stands now, almost in June of 2022?
Well, it's amazing. We still don't really have a good handle on this because the compass is broken. The data is flawed. We don't know deaths from COVID or incidentally with COVID. We don't know hospitalizations for or with COVID, incidental, when people are in the hospital for another reason. So that's why you're hearing a lot of debate without really a good resolution to it. Here's what I would tell people is that if you're at risk, what happens when you get the infection, natural infection, or you get the primary vaccine series, your B and T cells activate, and that's probably a lifelong activation. And that will downgrade the severity and help some, a lot of people, who otherwise might have had a life-threatening infection.
Doctor, what I'm curious about, too, and there's so much here, and we appreciate you giving us some time. Right before we came on with you, we reported that kids are going to be required to wear masks again in schools in Philadelphia. And there's obviously a great deal of concern about that requirement spreading now as COVID cases are up. There's also still a lot of talk about young kids getting COVID shots and whether or not it makes sense. Kids in masks and young kids getting COVID shots. What would you want all the parents out there to know about these issues?
Well, first of all, the issue of masks has been thoroughly studied in schools, but people are just ignoring that data. It was very clearly done in an elegant study from Finland, and Tracy Hogue did a similar study in the United States. This is not the riddle of the Sphinx. This is something that we have done in the United States to roughly half the kids in this country, and we can see what the outcome was. The outcome was a giant mental health catastrophe. Then now everybody is scratching their head to figure out, how do we fix this? Well, we're trying to mop up the floor while the spigot is still on. And if you look in New York State, in New York City, where many so-called experts are urging the city to go back to universal indoor masking, they're actually using monkeypox as one of the rationales to do it. If you look at the deliberations right now, we don't have an open scientific forum anymore. That's gone. When the CDC just authorized, just recommended strongly boosters for 5 through 11-year-olds in the United States, they ignored the fact that 75% have natural immunity. There was no clinical data they used and cited. Instead, they pointed to a study of 140 kids, 5 through 11, who got the booster, and they said, oh, look, the antibody levels went up a little bit, which we know is transient. So they recommended boosters for 24 million kids, 5 through 11, universally, based on 140 kids in a study that didn't even look at outcomes, and the efficacy was indeterminate from that study. And if you listen to the proceedings of the CDC in their committee meeting last week, they said, many of the members said, it was to have a simplicity in the messaging. Otherwise, people would be confused. And I think the public is just sick of this paternalism. They want honesty, and they just want the scientific facts straight.
Is the medical community turning a bit more toward the direction of reality now, Doc? I mean, we have you on. There are a handful of folks with impeccable credentials like you who will speak about this in this way. But I'm still, I mean, amazed isn't the word, appalled at how many Dr. So-and-so who works for the public health department in New York or Philadelphia or Chicago or L.A. or wherever is acting like we haven't gone through the last 2 years of seeing all their ideas fail.
Well, I get a lot of doctors privately and secretly reach out to me saying, you know, keep talking about this. I agree 100%. I can't say anything because my boss or my institution or my communications department. And so there's a lot of that pressure, and the currency of academic medicine is NIH funding. So when many people are worried about their funding stream, of course you can imagine why they're a little timid to speak up.
Dr. Marty McCary, everybody, The Price We Pay is his book. He's at Johns Hopkins University. Doc, appreciate it. Thanks for diagnosing the problem.
Thanks so much, guys.
Look, there are some products that you just live your day-to-day life in, and they're game changers, right? MyPillow has so many of them, and I'm going to tell you right now, every day the team here kind of laughs. I change into my MySlippers. So I come in my shoes, and I change into my MySlippers to do this radio show. Right now I'm sitting here. I go with the slip-on. You can do the moccasin, too. They're all great. I'm sitting here talking to you wearing my size 10 charcoal slip-on MySlippers, because they're the most comfortable slippers, most comfortable thing I can put on my feet, quite honestly. A three-tier cushioning system, two layers of MyPillow foam, and a layer of impact gel to prevent fatigue, and you're just going to be comfortable in them all day. Plus, they're great because I've got the dog this week, Barnett, from my parents, taking care of her, so I got to go on dog walks. Guess what? I've got MySlippers at home, and I walk the dog wearing my MySlippers because I can wear them inside and outside. For a limited time, you can get an amazing deal. Save $90 on a pair of MySlippers. $90. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. This would even be a great time to stock up on future gifts for family and friends. Log on to MyPillow.com now, click on Radio Listener Specials, and use the promo code CLAYANDBUCK to receive this incredible limited-time offer. The slippers come with a one-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's MyPillow.com, promo code CLAYANDBUCK, MyPillow.com, promo code CLAYANDBUCK for $90 savings on a pair of my slippers. Think about that. Or you can just call this phone number if you want, 800-792-3269.
Making sense in an insane world. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Go to puretalk.com/buck to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/buck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, hour number three. By the way, there are a ton of different ways to make sure that you can stay on top of the show. Just to give you a few of them, we are now up on YouTube with a lot of clips on a somewhat regular basis. You can just type in Clay and Buck on a YouTube search and be able to watch some videos of the show, interviews, discussions, and whatnot. You can always go to clayandbuck.com and encourage you to go follow us at Clay Travis and at Buck Sexton. Plus, go subscribe to the podcast. Buck, basically, any way that you want to consume this show, whatever your ideal media environment, and we desperately think so many of you out there that are listening right now on a huge variety of different stations all over across the country. But we want to be findable wherever you are in whatever desire you may have to be able to consume this show. Essentially, you are able to find us, and that's a big deal. And we've got increasingly numbers of markets out there that we continue to be number one in. Want to give a shout out to Columbus, Ohio, like I did. Denver, Colorado, we are now number one. Just stacking up all of these different markets out there on a day-to-day basis. We thank all our affiliates, but we want you to be easily able to find this product. Now, Buck, you have done real time with Bill Maher before. You've been on his HBO show.
Yes, sir.
And I couldn't believe this. Bill Maher has never won, I don't believe, an Emmy for real time with Bill Maher, which is crazy when you consider how many people fall over themselves to reward John Oliver, which is just a written show that he reads off a teleprompter every week. But Bill Maher has been increasingly red-pilled. Just looking at the facts, looking at the evidence, we've been talking about this on a variety of subjects.
On some subjects.
Yes.
He is not red-pilled like he is never going to come over to our side, period. But on some issues, because he's a civil libertarian. He has yes. old school. When I say old school, I don't mean classical liberal as in John Stuart Mill on liberty liberalism, which, by the way, well worth a read if any of you haven't ever gotten around to it. You know, 17th century, they knew some things. But he's a 1980s, 1990s style liberal where you still believed in free speech even when it was offensive. That's yes. where this comes from.
So Bill Maher decided to address this transgender-related issue that has become a real fighting point for Democrats. And tying in with this, this was a big flashpoint in the comedy universe because of Dave Chappelle and what he said on his Netflix special. And by the way, Buck, did you see the guy who attacked him on the stage said the reason why he attacked Dave Chappelle was because he was triggered by the jokes that Dave Chappelle had made. And by the way, what did they do to that clown who decided to attack Dave Chappelle on the stage in L.A. with a weapon, mind you? They didn't even charge him with a felony, Buck. He got charged with a misdemeanor because it's almost impossible to get charged with a felony in many Democrat cities right now. So here is what Bill Maher had to say. We've got a couple of different clips from the show. Let's play cut four first. Bill Maher on the recent trend of people identifying as LGBTQ.
And finally, new rule, if something about the human race is changing at a previously unprecedented rate, we have to at least discuss it. Broken down over time, the LGBT population of America seems to be roughly doubling every generation. According to a recent Gallup poll, less than 1% of Americans born before 1946, that's Joe Biden's generation, identify that way. 2.6% of boomers do, 4.2% of Gen X, 10.5% of millennials, and 20.8% of Gen Z. Which means if we follow this trajectory, we will all be gay in 2054.
Look, he's using facts and figures here to make an argument that when you start to take in the full scope of it, it's pretty jaw-dropping. It's pretty stunning that you now have 20% of Gen Z identifying as LGBTQIA+. And I mean this, by the way, I don't even mean this as a, I'm not trying to be controversial. At some point, an acronym is just too long. I come from a CIA background. I used to be able to have whole conversations with people where instead of nouns, it was just all acronyms. And then you even sort of replace some of the verbs with acronyms. So I come from an acronym culture, and LGBTQIA+ is too long. So we have to come up with a different term just for ease of use. Okay. It's not even a political statement. And then put that aside. Clay, for 20% of Gen Z to be identifying this way, and you look at the numbers, and you look at what Bill says about how this is not happening in equal measure all over the country, you get to a point where you either recognize that Santa Monica and Brooklyn and Northwest DC and wherever the fancy liberals live in Chicago, I don't really know. I didn't study it enough. But either they're producing through indoctrination more transgender youth, or there's something else going on. Here's Bill Maher talking to that point, actually.
Dr. Erica Anderson is a prominent 71-year-old clinical psychologist who is herself transgender and who now says, I think it's gone too far. The LA Times summarizes, she's come to believe that some children identifying as trans are falling under the influence of their peers and social media. If you attend a small dinner party of typically very liberal upper-income Angelenos, it is not uncommon to hear parents who each have a trans kid having a conversation about that. What are the odds of that happening in Youngstown, Ohio? If this spike in trans children is all natural, why is it regional? Either Ohio is shaming them or California is creating them.
There's a couple of things he touched on there. One is just the statistics. It doesn't add up, right? Numerically, people understand, hold on, there's something going on here that's not just all of a sudden, because on the trans issue in particular, that's where really young kids all of a sudden are becoming trans. And there was that study that Brown University published and then retracted on rapid onset gender dysphoria, which was essentially social contagion among highly impressionable children for this, for transgenderism to become very clustered. So when you have 1 5-year-old that says, I'm trans, all of a sudden it's 1,000% more likely you're going to have 3 other kids in the same class who are going to be, you know, who are going to decide that they're trans. They're attacking Bill Maher for this, Clay, by the way. GLAAD, which is a very powerful activist organization, tweeted, this is not the first time Bill Maher has spouted inaccurate anti-trans rhetoric, but this time he's targeting youth. Pundits who fearmonger about trans youth and surgeries need to learn the facts. It's not a trend. It's not a phase. Youth are not rushed into medical transition. I think GLAAD is wrong on all counts there at the end.
Yeah, I do. And this is me taking, I was talking about this exact issue with a lot of parents. We had a graduation party, as many of you out there are doing, so many different kids graduating. And by the way, now there's like graduations. I got a graduation to go to tonight for my fifth grader. I mean, are there fifth graders that aren't graduating, by the way? Like, is it at some point there are kindergarten graduations? Like, it's impossible for you not to graduate from fifth grade to sixth grade, right? It would actually be a crime. But anyway, I'm going to one of those. So it's graduation season and everybody's graduating at all ages. I got an eighth grade graduation. So we're having a big discussion about this. And I think these are the kind of discussions that lots of parents are having out there. And this is one where I think Bill Maher is right in a big way. And as a part of his discussion, Buck, he said, hey, when I was 8, I wanted to be a pirate. And if someone had let me poke my eye out so I could wear an eye patch and saw off my leg so I could have a peg leg, that would have been absolutely ridiculous. Now, it's humorous to think about, but every parent out there has kids who want to dress up and pretend that they are something other than what they are. This is a natural point of childhood. My kids dressed up like Jedis. They dressed up like pirates, even outside of Halloween, right? And if you allow an 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 or 12-year-old kid to make all of the choices in their life, Buck, they often make bad choices. That's why we have something called a parent. The idea that we are allowing people under the age of 18 to make lifelong, life-changing decisions about what gender they are is, to me, madness and child abuse, and it is a discussion we must have. Because if you want to get pumped full of hormones when you're 19, that should be your right. But the idea that we're allowing anybody to do it pre-majority is insane.
What's really happening, and this is where the fight, this is where the fight starts to become so intensely political right now, is that this is adults who are imposing their ideological and political fashions, in a sense, on children, deciding, oh, you have you're 6 years old, you think you may be a girl. There are now laws in different states where you can't even try to convince that child. I don't actually think that that's true. You always have to affirm. The conveyor belt toward affirmation of the beliefs of a six-year-old. Let's understand, to your point, Clay, you're a parent. You got 3 kids, right? We tell kids they're wrong about stuff all the time.
That's what parenting is.
Right. We steer kids away from this all the time. And for, you know, for people who want to say, oh, but it's all about, you know, self-actualization. And there is a real medical phenomenon called body integrity identity disorder. Now, you may not have heard of this. This is a real thing. You can find it on official, you know, psychiatric literature. It's also called apatemnophilia. And it's when someone is absolutely convinced they would be happier and better off if you amputate a healthy limb. Remove my leg and my life will be better. Now, psychiatry obviously treats this as, we are not removing your leg. You should not do that. Your life will not be better. But you start to wonder, how different is it for a 12-year-old to believe, you know, I really need to have my organs removed, my gender organs,
sex organs
removed to try to become something I can never actually become. Despite what they say, men cannot get pregnant, men cannot get periods, etc. How different is it from body integrity identity disorder, really? Because it wasn't long ago that it was body dysmorphia, right? Or I'm sorry, gender dysphoria, pardon me. Gender dysphoria, body dysmorphia is anorexia. Gender dysphoria, which was something that you treated from a psychiatric perspective as, no, you aren't actually a different gender. And over a long period of time, if somebody was an adult and they said, okay, well, then you have a different process. But in children, it was, no, we're not going to do this right now. The left has changed this, Clay. They now, the White House itself is saying it is standard of care to affirm the gender transition decision of prepubescent kids, even little kids, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. And this is why look, the American people just flatly aren't with the activist community on this. They're just not. And this is why the Democrat Party is scrambling.
Well, and look, this is also, take it outside of transgender related issues. We don't let kids sign contracts that bind them until they become 18 years old. We don't let kids be able to serve in the military until they're 18 years old. You can't get a beer until you're 21, and a lot of places won't allow you to get a rental car until you're 25. And yet, we are telling young kids, you can decide to cut your genitals off when you are below the age of consent in your state? I mean, this...
Clay...
about why we make those choices about mental health, because we know your brain's not fully developed until you become an adult.
You also will see, I mean, for a lot of you who aren't spending your time involved in the discussions online about this and the tweets back and forth, there are smarmy blue checks who are either, some of them are self-described doctors or medical personnel of some kind. Others work in the media who say, oh, it's giving puberty blockers is no big deal. It's reversible. No, I'm sorry. It's a very big deal.
Yeah.
And the notion of it being reversible as if NBD, let's just try this out and see how this goes. The literature, the long-term studies for what happens to a 12-year-old that you give this stuff to in 20 years does not exist. And what we do know of it from particularly the chief of gender transition surgery at Johns Hopkins University Medical Center for decades is that long-term life outcomes are not good. Long-term mental health outcomes are not good. And you have a White House that is saying this is standard of care, and you have an activist community. And like I said, a lot of my friends who are gay really resent the
connection.
Being gay means you have to stand up for trans indoctrination of 5-year-olds in school. No, it doesn't. They've come to me. I mean, I've interviewed, I've talked to them on air, I've talked to them in person. They're like, that's not this. This has nothing to do with that. So there's a lot here. And Bill Maher, look, he's poking the dragon on the left here. He's taking a risk because they come after people for this stuff. You speak out on this one, they want to ruin your life. Look, friends, millions of Americans contend with chronic pain every day. There are entire aisles in the drugstore dedicated to solving this problem, and there's so many doctor's visits people go on year in, year out, right? But still, the pain persists. There's no automatic solution. But we do see a brand that's providing a real solution to many members of this audience. It's called Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected with over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for these circumstances. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product that addresses joint pain, inflammation around the knees, hips, back, neck, shoulders. Relief Factor can help with all of that. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and nearly 70% of them go on to order more. If you're currently in pain and have a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it, those are really good odds, right? Like Mark in Texas, who shared his story with us. Many Americans consider all their options before trying Relief Factor. Mark had been hearing about Relief Factor on the radio for months. After an especially painful day dealing with his right shoulder, he said, look, I'm going to try the Quick Start program from Relief Factor. Within 2 weeks, three times a day, the pain and tenderness in both of Mark's shoulders noticeably decreased. Join the more than 500,000 people. Order the three-week Quick Start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's how you get the $19.95 three-week Quick Start developed for you. One more time, go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Move more, live more, and just enjoy your life more with Relief Factor.
Don't miss a minute of Clay and Buck and get behind-the-scene access to special content for members only. Subscribe to CNB 24/7.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams, offering over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden.
For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the Foundation's Homeless Veteran Program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone, because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude.
People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.